Welcome to the Sons of Mjolnir podcast.
The Sons of... what?
This isn't your Sons of Macaroni, yeah!
The Sons of Mjolnir?
This is Sons of Mjolnir, yeah!
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Sons of Mjolnir. As always, I am one of your hosts, Fat Thor, and today I am joined by a very special guest returning to the show, our good friend Corey Pruitt, a.k.a. Task. You guys might remember him from our last episode. I want to say it was issue 27 we had you on.
Yeah.
Talked about all about your comic career, the books you're writing. So Task, my friend, thank you so much for coming back and nerding out with me today. Super excited to have you.
Mic check. We on? We good?
We good, baby. We good.
Yo, I just want to kick it off with this, man. If you don't like Eternals, just block me, man.
Yes.
Unfollow me. I'm tired of this conversation. I'm tired of being like giving people like the benefit of the doubt. I'm over it. I'm done with it. I'm calling out anybody. If you don't like Eternals, you can just block me, bro. I'm not doing this with you. I'm not doing it with anybody. Also, aren't you with Agents of Fandom now?
Yes, I am. That's a little announcement. I'm now with Agents of Fandom. Gonna be
Did I take
articles.
That from you?
No, man, you didn't take it. It's not a secret. But yeah, man, I'm over at the Agents of Fandom, baby. Shout out TJ. Wonderful people.
You know, it's good. I support TJ a lot. Shout out to TJ. Even though he's Canadian.
We gotta forgive him. Yeah, I forgive him for that one.
You gotta forgive him for being Canadian. He was texting me the other day, and he put a U in one of, in color, and I almost threw the phone across the room. I'm like, fam.
Bro, seriously?
I was like, fam, there's no U in color. And he was like, there is in Canada. And I'm like, ah. Shout out to TJ, because I could tell that TJ's a good dude, because he was able to do what I wasn't able to do. And that's why I like him. I wanted to create a hub where people could come and feel included, and people could have podcasts, and people could come and write. Like, we did that before. I don't know if you remember Do You Even Comic Book? Like, that was something we were doing, and it fell apart. Like, we talked about while we were off air.
Yeah.
It fell apart, like, because of just, you know, sometimes business and friendship don't mesh well. And maybe I'm not the greatest person. I had to learn. Maybe I could be very, you know, and TJ is Canadian, so he's not like that at all.
Sweetest guy ever.
The nicest dude ever. I had him on the podcast, and I tried to trick him. He'll tell you about this. I tried to trick him. I said to him, I was like, hey, sir, as a white man,
start off on that.
I said, sir, as a white man, what do you think should change in geekhood? And his immediate answer was, well, as a white man, I do not have a place to have a conversation about that. I was so mad. I was like,
bastard.
You're good at this, TJ. Yeah. So shout out to TJ and his his huge fan base and his huge group that he's doing. I'm like appreciative of, like I support everything you guys do.
Yeah, I love, like I said, all the love to TJ. I could not be more happy to be working with those folks. I love everyone over there. Great platform. Everyone listening, watching to this, go check out Agents of Fandom podcasts, articles, anything you want in the nerd sphere. We got it. But getting back on topic, Task.
Yeah, sorry.
No, please. Like, you know us. You know us. We love a good tangent over here.
Just get
here,
it out.
Friend.
Yeah, just get it
but
out.
But you gave us the perfect introduction for our topic today, and that is Eternals. Like Task said, I want to echo what he said in the beginning of this. If you don't like Eternals, you can just fucking block me right now.
No, for real. For
the
real.
Hate that this movie has been getting over the past couple years has been absolutely ridiculous. And that's one of the main reasons I wanted to invite you back on, because we both share a love for this movie, and we both have since before it even came out. We were hitting the Eternals drum. So most recently, Kamal Nanjiani just had some comments about Eternals and the kind of aftermath about it. So that, again, that's why I wanted to come bring you on. And like you said, I'm sick of talking about this too. So let's get it all out. Let's finish the conversation. Hopefully with this episode, we will put all the haters in silence and finally move on from this.
Yeah.
But to kick this off, I want to talk about those comments that Kamal made, because I think that they're very important and especially important to this discussion. Mm-hmm. So I want to try and quote him as best I can here. And so he was just recently on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, Inside of You, I'm pretty sure it's called. Yeah. And he asked him about Eternals and, like, you know, what was that like? And so Kamal says, like I said, I'm going to try to quote him as close as I can here. But gotcha. He says, the reviews were just really bad, and I was too aware of it. I was reading every review, and this thing had become too much in my head. And this was supposed to be my big coming out party that I've worked so hard for. It was really, really hard, and I couldn't approach my work like that. So I did start counseling. I do have trauma from it. I think that there was some weird soup in the atmosphere for why that movie got slammed so much. And I think not much of it has to do with the actual quality of the film. So I just want to, you know, start the conversation off there. Really, like, what are your thoughts on Kamal's comments there? I just want to say before we start, you know, yo, Kamal, if you're out there listening or watching this, I hope you saw some of my reviews, because there's people out there that loved it, and his role especially I loved. So, Taz, take it away.
Absolutely. As you can see, right when he said it had nothing to do with the actual film and the quality, I went doo, doo, doo,
yep.
Doo, doo, doo. What that means is that's a shot fired. Kamal is saying the quiet part out loud. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. Well, he didn't say it loud enough because he still got to protect himself.
Yeah.
And you know, I always tell people I can't ever fully go full like corporate or Hollywood, because I don't put a filter on myself. Mm-hmm. I never have. I'm going to say it like whatever it is. So let me say it just for him, because he couldn't say it. People were afraid of the Eternals. Marvel decided, let's go full representation. Let's get all types of races, all types of people, all types of, you know, women. They even had LGBTQ in there. Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, a lot of people didn't like that. Like, the conversation when they found out that there would be a gay character in there, that already started the downfall.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that people didn't know, I'm in a chat with a bunch of I'm in a chat with a bunch of film bros. Mm. They keep me in there because, unfortunately, they have to talk about the comic book stuff because of the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And they keep me around because they know that I know the information on it and all the stuff. So I upset a lot of them, but I think it's funny. So they were hating on that movie early. Before it even came out, they were hating on it. And I would just ask them, like, what's the problem? First thing they told me, and I don't even know if you know this or a lot of people know this. First thing they told me was that they considered Chloe Zhao a sellout.
Because she took Marvel?
Huh?
Because she took a Marvel film?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She had the movie. I forgot the name. She had a movie that won an award.
Yeah. I'll throw the picture up in that.
Okay, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember
the name. God, I'm going to have to look that up, because yeah. King Chloe deserves.
Oh, Chloe Zhao. That will be a major topic of this discussion.
Yes, yes.
Is Chloe Zhao, because she is just so great. And again, fantastic. The hate for the movie and her is just so mm-hmm. ridiculous.
No Man Land.
Yes. And she also did, it's like The Ride or something.
Yes. Yeah. He did. She did The Ride. Yeah. I don't know if that one won, but No Man Land did.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw No Man Land. I think it's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. I watched it immediately after I found out about her. That's something that Marvel doesn't get a lot of respect for, is that Marvel has put a lot of people on.
Oh, hell yeah.
They put a lot of people on. People who we never knew are directors that we never knew about. Just them being mentioned, people go back and look at their stuff. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened with Chloe Zhao. Now, this is a woman who won an Oscar for like an indie type film. So yeah. Like, the film bros were putting her up on this pedestal. As in, like, she's the future. She's what's going to happen next. And what does she do? She takes a Marvel. A lot of them felt betrayed by that.
So
a lot of them felt like, how dare you do that? You are a representation. It's kind of like what happened with mutants and humans. It's like, you're trying to evolve the genre that we've already written off.
Mm-hmm.
And she did things that these film bros always complained about with Marvel. They said, oh, they're not doing actual set locations. She had actual set locations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're usually this type of color. She used outside lighting. Like, she was using actual location. I remember in one of the, I was watching one of the Eternals making of film parts, and they said that they were filming at like 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like freezing cold. Like freezing cold, because they're right next to the ocean. So it's like 20 degrees outside. But she was like, no, we have to get there at this time because there's specific sunlighting
mm-hmm.
need. And they went with that. And these are things that all these film bros were saying, no, we don't do that. No, they don't do that. They don't do that. Well, here she comes doing it. Oh, we have a problem with that. We have a problem with that because you represent something else. Everything that we hate Marvel for, you're doing the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
We also complain that all the Marvel movies don't need to tie together. Okay. Here's a movie where it doesn't really tie in to anything. Okay, we have a problem with that because there's a narrative that we are pushing and you are doing the opposite of the narrative. So with that being said, they set out to destroy this film.
Mm.
They set out to destroy it. what Kamal said was completely correct. It has nothing to do with the quality. If you watch that film, there is no way you could say that film is just as bad as Catwoman. That film is just as bad as Fantastic Four. This is why I get upset, because I'm like, if you don't like a movie, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you sit there and try and make it seem like it belongs in that bottom barrel with like Dark Phoenix and The Flash and that type of stuff. Like, that's, it's nowhere near on that level.
Not even on the same fucking universe, dude. Like, 100%. Oh my God.
if you ask me, Marvel has never made a movie that bad.
Like, I mean, obviously, we're the Marvel shill. You know, you look on Twitter, we're the MCU shill. So
you're right.
But I 100% agree, dude. We're not coming with that caliber. Like, people are just, like I said, it's all so silly. And I think you just broke it down so beautifully of why people not only were resistant to this, but had kind of what's the word I'm looking for? I'm messing up my words right now. Incentive. Incentive. That's the word.
Oh, yeah. Incentive.
They had an incentive to bash this movie because, like you said, it's going against the narrative that they are building their kind of reputation and audience on. So, mm-hmm. like I said, you smashed that breakdown for me. And I want to mention, too, like you going back to the point of like Chloe Zhao selling out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, just so fucking silly. Like, that's just a silly comment that makes no sense to me. And so the reason I want to bring this up is, so one, Chloe Zhao, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you probably know as well, she's the one who brought Eternals to Marvel. Like, they set a meeting. Like, I don't think she sought out the meeting, but she's the one who came in and was like, I want to do Eternals. And
they wanted her, they met with her. And this is something that Feige does that I don't think a lot of people does. He went to one of those artsy-fartsy movie things. And that's where he saw Nomadland.
Yeah.
And one superhero movie on that docket.
Mm-hmm.
he went anyways. Why? Because that's what he does. He goes and discovers directors and gives them a chance. Who, Ryan Coogler, like, yeah, he was doing stuff like that, but when he did Black Panther, that took him to a whole nother atmosphere. Look at Simon Mui. Simon. Mm-hmm. Who was Simon before this? He's hosting the People's Choice Awards. Like, things like that. So he's always looking for new talent. He's always looking for things. And he took a whole entire, he took a chance. But he wanted her to do Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
crazy to think about.
Ain't that crazy? He wanted originally for Black Widow to have a more down-to-earth feel mm-hmm. on it, because out of almost everyone in the Avengers, she doesn't have powers. So he wanted that movie to be more grounded. And she said to him pretty much, well, if you want me to do something, I want to do something bigger. I want to do something that's going to reflect forever and not just a movie that's going to, I don't want to say Black Widow came and gone, but as mm-hmm. of right now, it hasn't been tied back to really until Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
And she was like, I want Eternals.
Which is such a crazy, like, just I think that just shows how creative of a storyteller that she is, that she came with Eternals. And I think, shout out again to No Man's Land, the movie she did prior. I think, and then shout out to Feige too, like you were saying, is that I think if you watch that movie, you can definitely see the Zao-ness of it and how she brought that into Eternals, like you were talking about, with the real locations and the way in which she sets a scene and the way in which she portrays the emotion of a scene. I think those are the things like Feige saw in that movie. And he wasn't necessarily like, oh, this person would do a great superhero movie. It's this person will bring an amazing perspective to a story that we need to tell. So like you said, I think that's one of the advantages that the MCU has and the strengths that they have is being able to see that talent in people like Simu and Chloe Zhao and all that. And I want to bring up too, when we're talking about her pitch for the Eternals, and I loved this so much. And I think it was probably the same thing you were watching, the making of the Eternals. Mm-hmm. And so her pitch for the Eternals, she said she came in and she recited a William Blake poem. I don't know the name of this poem in particular, but the poem basically says, to see the world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. And that was her like initial, like, this is how I envision the Eternals. Like, this is how I envision this mythology of the MCU. And again, I just think that's so beautiful. And I think that quote and that poem really does encapsulate the film so well.
I agree 100%. I tell people it's almost unfair to call Eternals a superhero film. And the reason why I say that is there's not really a, if you look at it, really, it's more of the story of humanity told through the eyes of gods.
Yeah, and our That's place kind of, in all of this.
Mm-hmm. And it's showing how life evolved, how these gods helped evolve through this life. I love that there were ones that were all about like the fighting, and there were ones that were more like you know, that could control minds and different things like that. You know, everyone had their purpose.
Yeah.
The team. And yeah, there were some times they were fighting monsters, but that wasn't really what it was about. It was about that they were preparing Earth for something. And they didn't really know what that was, but one of them did find out who it was, what it was, and he had to keep that path going. And when it comes to Icarus, you know, people say that Icarus was a bad guy, but this is where I open the conversation. I always say this is why I'm in this movie. I say, was Icarus really the bad guy? And people said, what do you mean? I was like, Icarus was doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of them. You can consider them the bad guys. Because they're like, yeah. Hey, whoa, we're not going to do this. And they're like, no, that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like, I think we have to also remember that, you know, we're talking about like grand cosmic scales here.
Yeah.
We're not talking about like, yes, obviously we want to save Earth because we live here, but there's billions of planets. There's, you know, billions of galaxies. And this is how the galaxy keeps going, is by celestials. It's all about energy. It's all about redistributing that energy. So if Earth, and I think Icarus has a great point in that if Earth dies, it allows billions of other worlds to live.
And 100%.
It's like, when you put it like that, you can see where Icarus is coming from. And like you said, if you want to get technical with it, he is the only one that did his job. Like, their jobs, again, are to redistribute this energy throughout the universe for the celestials. And it's like, when you look at it like that, like you said, you can honestly see all, you know, the good Eternals, quote unquote, as the bad guys. Because who knows what that, which I think, this is what we're going to find out, but what are the consequences of that?
Yeah.
What are the 100%. Consequences of Tiamat not emerging? What, you know, we kind of see this, it reminds me of, I'm sure that you're aware of this just as much as I am, but I was actually just reading some old X-Men Silver Surfer. I was reading Silver Surfer. And at the end of, I think it's issue 2 of Silver Surfer, there's a preview of the Watcher series. And it gives you like a little backstory on Uatu and the Watchers. And basically what happens with the Watchers is sort of a very similar thing in the sense of they evolve so much that they're like, oh, we want to share this knowledge with everyone and, you know, give all these people all this stuff. And so they do that. And basically the world that they help becomes like a nuclear holocaust, and they destroy like a bunch of planets. And that's why they decide to only watch, because they're just like, watch, we cannot influence these things because it's just going to go to shit. And I think that that applies very heavily with the MCU and this Eternals movie, because again, it's like, yes, we want to save Earth because that's where we live, but what are the consequences of that? And I think that is what Arishem and, you know, Icarus's whole deal is.
Yes, I agree. It also makes me wonder, because what made them change their mind about like what they were supposed to do, Salma Hayek's fine ass. I've had a crush on that woman for over 30 years. My wife knows about it and everything. My wife is like, yeah, I get it.
He's like, my wife's cool with it, I swear.
But you know, the blip that happened.
Yes, the snap.
I think the snap and the blip really ended up kind of sort of saving humanity, saving Earth, because what ended up happening was the Eternals saw humans come out of that. They saw them fight to bring everybody back. That didn't happen in any other planet. It happened on Earth. And she was like, these people are different.
Yeah.
We've watched numerous planets die, but these people fought to the end. They're worth saving. And that saved a lot, because if it wasn't for that blip, they probably would have just let it happen. Like, all right, cool, whatever.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's kind of going back to, you know, my Watcher analogy is like they're in the very similar situation, in which is another criticism that is always so stupid to me is like, well, why didn't they help fight Thanos? Why didn't they show up to Endgame? It's like they literally explain it in the movie. They cannot interfere with human evolution. And it's like that was our test, and we fucking passed that shit with flying colors. And like you said, that was what showed Ajak that we are something special. Like, we have more to offer. And which, you know, we're talking about these cosmic scales and stuff. That's a pretty huge thing. When you've seen millions of worlds die before, but it was this one that was like, you know what? Maybe we should rethink this whole thing, right? So, I mean, again, that's just one of the many reasons that we love this movie. And I think something that, you know, a lot of people really don't understand, or maybe just kind of missed it to them.
Well, in their kind of sort of defense, we're used to things go boom, explosions. They're not used to having to think. And when I would bring things up to them, you know, when I talked about Icarus, I actually changed the dude's mind with that when I said that. I also took it forward further. What about Crow? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, oh, he was bad. And I want to say, I asked him a question. I said, was he good, or was he just doing what he was created to do? He had to stop and think. I was like, remember, that's what they were created to do. That was the reason why the dinosaurs died. Oh, I thought that was great. Oh, that was fantastic.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
And did you notice, I'm sure you did, you know, this movie's been out for a while now, but the little Skrull reference in there too, like how they deviants turn into Skrull. Like, bro, good.
Like, this makes sense. And so what happened was they went and destroyed everything. They're like, all right, humans are coming, but the deviants are like, oh, we're just going to keep, that's what we're programmed to do.
Yeah.
So of course, Crow sees them as the bad guy. They're like, dude, you pretty much enslaved my people.
Yeah.
You created us, you enslaved us, and then you kill us. We're doing what you guys made us to do.
Well, not even that, but Arishem specifically. And I think that's like really, which I guess this goes to one of my criticisms that I can agree with and kind of that I have with the movie is with Crow. And I think that's one of the, what makes him so interesting in the comic books and the deviants in general is, like you said, that idea of them being the forgotten children, like the children of Arishem that were cast aside, and then they made the Eternals, and it's like, oh, these are our boys, you know what I mean? Yeah, but it's like, well, what about us? Yeah, like we were here for, like, you made us first to do this job, and now you change your mind, so now we all just have to fucking die. Like, that's bullshit. That's why I say, like, I don't want to say a good guy, because it's like, you know, he's still a demon, but yeah, it's like he's 100% justified. And if anything, it's like he's fighting the same fight that our Eternals are fighting towards 100%. The end. It's just,
like, we're doing what you guys are doing. We're fighting for survival.
Exactly. Yeah.
Waited for. I love a good villain with a great origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you almost want to question, is it fair to call them a villain? Another great example of that, I say, is Magneto.
Oh, you know, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. People say, is Magneto a villain? My answer is always the same. That depends on who you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
I loved in the beginning of the Krakoa era, where Magneto meets some young, kid mutants. And, they're afraid of him. They're like, oh, that's Magneto. That's Magneto. Like, you're doing this. And I loved what he said to him. He was like, children, everything that I have done is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I have done is for you. You know, people say I'm a villain. I'm killing all these humans. Look at what they're doing to us.
Yeah.
They're making giant robots. We are illegal. We are hunted.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie to bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, his methods obviously are a little extreme, but that's what makes him so great. And like you said, that's why I wouldn't classify him as a villain either, because everything he does is for the betterment of mutant kind. And it's like, that's Charles's goal as well, but they just have vastly different ways to go about it, which is what makes them so compelling.
100%. And it's funny because, you said it too. You were like, well, there's different extremes. And I tell people, this is nothing against you. I'm like, more extremes than building giant robots to kill children. Like, I agree. It is an extreme, but then he could just flip that on us. He was like, 100%. They destroyed Genosha.
Yeah.
They killed millions of us. What do you mean I'm extreme?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
That's the conversations I have. And that's the type of conversations that we could have with Eternals. Mm-hmm. Is that, who's the good guy? Who's really the bad guy? And it's also a great example of sometimes the right thing to do is the wrong thing to do.
Yes. And, I love, dude, air horns in the chat for that one. That you cooked with that.
Yeah, sometimes the right thing to do is the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those examples. Like, we're here to do this. We're here to keep, for Tiamat to be born, that keeps, the galaxies going, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're supposed to do that, but you know what? We're not going to do it this time.
You know what? Fuck that.
And, people were saying that's kind of mean. I said, think about it. In the Guardians of the Galaxy comics, one thing that I wish the MCU would talk about more, but that's okay, is that Earth sucks.
Yeah.
Earth sucks. Think about all the stuff that is happening on Earth.
Mm.
It's not happening anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's happening here. Mm-hmm. So these beings who, control the galaxies are like, yo, what's up with this place right here?
Yeah, for real.
This place right here. Look at everything that's happening. Look at that Ultron. They're looking at everything with Thor. They're looking at they're like Doctor Strange going through realities. They're just like, dude, what is going on here?
Yeah.
What's going on in this place? It's messing everything up. They got the Wakandans. They got space Mercury stuff.
If anything, getting rid of Earth would probably be a good thing for the Marvel universe.
Yes, 100%. Like, Earth sucks.
Yeah.
Look at all the other planets. They're chilling.
It reminds me of this was like a million years ago now, feels like, but back when Infinity War came out, I was actually at this podcast, and they had Stephen McFeely, I forget their exact names, but the writers for Infinity War, Captain America, First Avenger, blah, blah, blah. And I got to ask them a question, and I asked them, and like I said, this is right after Infinity War. So my question was about the Soul Stone, and I asked them, why did they choose Vormir to put the Soul Stone on? Because you remember just as well as I, we were both in the conversation, but everyone, there were theories that it was in Wakanda. There were theories that, so-and-so had, or, all this. And what they told me, I always remember, because I thought it was very interesting. I think it relates to what we're talking about here. Yeah. And they were saying, we were aware of all those theories. Like, we heard all, the Wakanda stuff and, this and that. They're like, but really, we had to remember, Earth already had the Space Stone. Earth already had the power, or not the Power Stone, but the Time Stone, right? It's like, there are billions of planets in the galaxy. In the grand scheme of things, like, we are not that important. And they were like, we just thought to put another soul stone there would be, or another infinity stone would just be putting too much importance on us when this affects everyone in the galaxy, not just Earth. And I think, like I said, that really applies to what we're talking about here with Arishem and kind of his whole motives, which, again, going back to the whole hero villain, that I think he's another great example of, you know, Arishem's not bad. Like, he's not a villain. Like, he's just doing celestial shit. Like, again, these are things like we as people and fucking mortals just cannot, we cannot comprehend these big concepts of how the universe works. And going off of that, I also want to talk about kind of some of the other criticism that we touched on a little bit is this movie, in my opinion, at least, has a lot of things that, like you were saying, people complain that the MCU lacks, right? And one of the biggest things I think that this movie has, and it's weird to me that I don't see more people championing this, is this movie is pure Jack Kirby. Like, this is Jack Kirby 100%. Like, you know, I obviously did not know the man personally, but from what I know about him and everything I've read, he would have been so ecstatic to see this come to life on the big screen. And I think that, you know, people don't really realize or understand how important the idea and the concepts of celestials and the Eternals are to not only comics, but to the MCU as a whole. So I want to talk a little bit about all those relationships. And I know you are very well versed in the comic just as well as I am. But I mean, celestial, like, this is people, again, another criticism people keep spewing out is, where are the X-Men? Where are the X-Men? This is how we get the X-Men. This is how we get mutants. This is how, like, this is all of this. Like, it doesn't seem like it's connected, but hell, even Thor and the Asgardians are technically offshoots of Eternals. Like, they, everything is related to the Celestial. So I just want to, again, get your kind of thoughts on that as well.
Absolutely. Well, I know that Chloe Zhao played the movie for the Kirby Estate, and she got the, they gave the thumbs up on that.
Yeah.
And they're very, like, particular when it comes to these type of things. So I feel like, I mean, I don't know the whole insides out, but I could see her going to them and saying, yo, like, how do you think we should do this? How do we think we should do this? I think the introduction to the Eternals with the Kirby stuff is also very important because we just got the Fantastic Four announcement just a few days ago.
Yes.
And you know what comes with Fantastic Four?
Galactus, baby. Silver Surfer, Galactus. All that shit.
Silver Surfer. So what I think the Eternals help introduce into the MCU is that it's bigger than Earth.
Yes.
It's bigger than just this place. It's about throughout the ethos, what, you know, like throughout the whole galaxy and everything, like you said, with Arishem, I also would say it's also with Galactus because
100%. Yes.
Galactus, I tell people it's almost unfair to call Galactus, it's almost unfair to say that Galactus is a person. Galactus is a force of nature, and killing him would mess up everything because he is, he's nature.
Yeah. You know,
like, when he chooses a planet, that means it's that planet's time. That's like they did stories where they're like, oh, we could just stop Galactus from doing it, and then like everything would go to crap. And they're like, dude, what happened? Like, no, that's his job. To mess him up would be to, you know, like, you know, mess up the
destroy natural everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it is with Arishem and them. I'm like, you guys are now going against natural order. That's not okay. You guys are going back in time. You guys are gathering infinity stones. You, you guys are
shit we should not be doing. Like, we should not be doing this shit.
What are we doing? Like, what if we got y'all in the Marvels opening up holes to different reality? What are you doing? What are you? Doctor Strange is casting spells and making people forget their minds and different people from different generations. And then Deadpool's gonna come. Like, they're looking like, dude, this place is a problem.
Yeah. Straight up enemy number one on the cosmic scale list. And I think, you know, with the whole Galactus thing too, I think this, again, speaking of like, oh, how are we going to get this shit? Eternal, like, that's how we're getting it. And I would say, you know, with the introduction of Arishem, and especially the way in which they're playing it in the MCU, like we talked about, the distribution of energy. And for those out there who don't know, you mentioned it very briefly, but Galactus, like you said, is a force of nature. And not only is a force of nature, but he at one point was a man, like a regular dude. And basically what happened is his planet got destroyed during the Big Bang. And how was the Big Bang introduced in the MCU task? Who created the first sun? Arishem. So he would, if once we get Galactus, he is going to have very intimate beef with these Celestials. And honestly, like we're talking about, he's kind of the answer to Celestials.
Yeah.
Where Celestials
create... He's kind of the anti-Celestial.
Exactly. Where they create life and distribute this energy throughout the universe. Galactus collects that energy. He feeds off that energy. So again, it's like, I don't think people really grasp how big of an introduction of the Celestials is just off of the concept of them. And again, it's like, I just feel like people complain all day, all night about like, oh, this isn't like the comic books. This isn't, again, Eternal, for those out there who don't know, Eternals was one of Jack Kirby's like babies. And this was so again, a little history for everybody. Jack Kirby, obviously legendary artist for Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, all literally any character you can think of from Marvel, he basically created them. And he left Marvel, and that's when he went to create what is called the Fourth World, which shares a lot of similarities to the Eternals. And Kirby was obsessed with things like mythology and ancient civilizations and our place in the universe and our relationships with gods. And so after Fourth World in DC, when he came back to Marvel for a very short period, the first story that he did was the Eternals. Again, it was, again, Fantastic Four, Captain America, all those, obviously those are iconic and forever are in history. But in my mind, Eternals is, again, one of Kirby's sole creations that was his. And he put all of his love and what he was interested in it. And again, I think all of that translates so well to this movie. Like you were saying, dealing with these questions of our place in the universe. What does it mean to be human, especially in the eyes of gods, people who live eternally? And again, it's just people complain about, oh, they're disrespecting the comics and shit. Bro, this was a love letter to those comics. Like, that was a little tangent on my end, but...
No, you're good. You're good. First of all, how do I say this correctly? Every person who says, like, oh, it's not like the comics, dude.
Go read the comics.
first off, let's be clear. The Eternals, they have their Jack Kirby did a lot of great stuff because he was addicted to mythology and how mythology would resonate in real life. One of which sounds like the Eternals movie. Yeah. Like, the whole concept of it was that. Like, how would mythology work in real life? One of the things I know Jack Kirby was against was calling characters like Thor gods. And what he would do instead, like, yeah, we called them gods, but what they really were aliens. Like, that was his way of saying if this stuff was real. And if you think about it, that makes sense. Like, their form of magic is just science. That it's a phrasing that Iron Man says all the time that I love. Magic is just science that we haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
And I like that. Which
is true.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He was like, it's just science that we haven't figured out how to do yet. And so with characters like Thor in them, like, he wanted to say, these guys are really just aliens that we worshiped. I mean, at one point, Thor didn't even really fly. He threw the hammer, and that's why it has a handle.
Yeah, and it propelled him.
Yeah, yeah. There's scenes where you see where, like, the hammer is, like, in front, and he's holding it in front of him. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I would say all the early, like, I would say probably up until, like, after the Stan Lee stuff, all early Thor, that's how he flew, was by the hammer. And that's why every panel you see him whirling it up, because... Yeah. That's how he flies.
Exactly. And then it just became just this cool thing, like, for him to do, like, and, like, the twirling, and, like, he doesn't need, he can just fly without it. But yeah, they've but with him, especially with Eternals, even on the fourth world, people don't even know the whole concept of the fourth world was basically it's the fight between heaven and hell with Earth caught in the middle. Mm-hmm. That was his basic point, you know. The New Genesis gods were heaven, and Apocalypse is basically like that's what it was. Like that was his whole concept: the fight between heaven and hell. With the Earth caught in the middle. With mm-hmm. Eternals, what he was trying to tell a story of is like the creation of man. Yeah. That like, what if I took like the creation of man and put it in a world of superheroes? And that was the whole concept. And that's kind of what I got with the film Eternals. That's what I felt like I got. I got a modern version of that mm-hmm. while also, you know, while also paying homage to the original stuff. That's what I got in that film. And, you know, I think what it is, and now I'm just going to remove think. One of the things with Eternals was a lot of people hated the MCU. You know, it's kind of goes to X-Men. The Hollywood bros, the Hollywood people, to this day, they don't like superhero films. They refuse mm-hmm. to like acknowledge them as what they are. And that's how we get things like Angela Bassett getting snubbed. That was nasty. Mm. Angela Bassett losing was that. Well, that was nasty.
And then getting an Oscar afterwards.
I hate the participation trophy. Oscar. I don't even like to call it an Oscar. That's not an Oscar.
Yeah,
to
me, fucking bullshit.
That's not an Oscar to me. That's a participation trophy.
Mm.
And that's a our bad.
It makes it honestly kind of worse. Like, at least it's like, it honestly feels kind of worse. Like, dude.
To me, it does. And I'm not Angela Bassett, but I wouldn't even want it. I'm like, no, you guys did not give it to me. Stand on that. Yeah. Stand on that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did not give that to me. And let the whole world remember that you guys screwed me.
Yep.
Let them remember that. Let them know that. And that's why, and that was bullcrap. And then even if I was Jamie Lee Curtis, I'd feel away. Like, Jamie
Dude.
Lee Curtis. Like, why didn't you just give it to her, then?
Bro, we're going to be here for hours if we start talking about this.
No. We'll breeze through it. But like, this is important because this goes all the way, stemmed all the way from the Eternals. There were a lot of people who hated it. Who aren't into superhero movies. So one of my favorite lines is, if you make God bleed, people will stop believing in it.
Hmm.
So Eternals came out and all these dudes were like, oh, this sucks. Oh, this sucks. Oh, this is boring. This is sucks. And all these people got excited about it. Like, there were people legit excited that it was doing, it didn't get good reviews. They were excited about this. I thought that was so weird. And I would call them out on it. I was like, why are you so excited that this movie is getting bad reviews? I think that's counterproductive to the genre that you claim you love so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we listen to hip hop. Right? Me and you?
Yeah.
Okay. We listen to hip-hop.
Yes, I do. I do task. I dabble.
I dabble a little bit there and there.
I dibble dabble.
You know, people say all the time, you know, mumble rap isn't rap. Mumble rap isn't rap. I don't like mumble rap, but I am not going to tell you that it isn't rap.
Yeah, just not, not my flavor.
It's not my flavor, but it's mm-hmm. definitely rap.
Yeah.
It's definitely music. I don't have to like it. I hate it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say that's not rap. That's not factual. And that's what they do with these type of movies like Eternals. They say it's not movie. It's not a film. It's not that. No, it literally is. Either all of it is film or none of it is.
Yeah.
It's that simple to me. And I'm like, how can you just completely crap on someone's art like that? And like be excited about this?
Yeah.
Also, another thing, Chloe Zhao is a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
She represents progression. There are people out there who do not want that.
Yeah.
They're in high positions of power. And that's the reason why it is the way it is for years. And they don't want that to happen. And they will do whatever it takes to in that. One of the dudes, I have a phrase that people have used for years. I say Hayeki in references to Salma Hayek because this reviewer said something that just has resonated with me.
Oh, I remember this.
3 years. And that is so important. That review is so important. He said Salma Hayek is in the movie who doesn't do anything, and she doesn't say do anything Salma Hayek-y. I wish, because of course the guy doesn't have a Twitter, because then he would have to probably answer for his crimes. I would love to ask that dude. I would love to sit him in a room, me and him, and we could record it on YouTube. And I want him to explain to me what that means.
Literally.
I want you to explain to me what Salma Hayek means, and try not to say be sexy in Mexican. I want you to tell me, what else do you mean by that? I mean, she was sexy in Mexican to me, but apparently she wasn't. And so I'm just like, what do you mean by that? And this guy was in a top New York Post. This is one of the biggest names, and this is a guy giving the review, and he said she's not Salma Hayek.
I'm like, you said, what the fuck does that mean, dude?
What does that mean? You put that on a tomato meter. What does that mean? You didn't even give the movie a chance. You walked into the movie already saying you were going to hate it.
Yeah. Which a lot of people did. I mean, we saw, like I said, you know, at the top of this, we were banging the Eternal drum even before the movie came out. Because, again, not where we're talking about how, like, people were hating it before they even saw it. We were loving it before we saw it, but not because we're like, oh, the movie's going to be great, because we understood, like we were talking about, the importance of Celestials, Eternals, all this stuff. So like I said, you saw it just as much as I did. All these people that were actively trying to tear the movie down before it ever even came out, anything that was shown about it, they just tore it apart and just tried to make any kind of argument they have. But like you said, it's like, at least for me, I've seen a couple like good faith arguments, which I can, you know, somewhat agree. Like some people saying, you know, it was a little slower paced for me. Like I didn't understand the character. So like it didn't really impact me, which is like, I understand that. But
that's understandable. Most
criticism I see is, like you said, it's like, what do you mean by that? Like what are you trying to say with this? Like, oh, like, I don't know. Like I've seen a bunch of Fasto shit, which it's like, who was a fan of Fastos before this movie? You know what I mean? Like, where the fuck are all these Fastos fans coming from?
A lot of cap, a lot of lies. Yeah. I hate to say it, but this is true. This is just facts. Like I said, my therapist always tells me we have to remain fact-based.
Mm-hmm.
There is not enough Eternals content out there.
They have three fucking runs out of like 60 years.
There is not enough Eternals content for people to act like there's like this sacred line of disrepresentation of like 300 issues. And no, there's been three runs.
And I think the third one is the one that just ended like 2 years ago. So before the movie, literally two runs. One was from Jack Kirby himself from like, you know, forever ago. And then we had, what's his face? Gaiman?
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
there was the Gaiman run that was great. The Gaiman run doesn't get brought up enough.
Yeah, it's really good.
There is the current run. There was another run in between that, in between, like right before the Gaiman stuff. But it was also a mini series. Okay. So basically, all the content that we've gotten with Eternals, 90% of it has just been minis.
Yeah.
And so basically. And a lot of stuff that happened with the Neil Gaiman stuff also bled into the movie, where basically they were on Earth already living their lives and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the Neil Gaiman, matter of fact, all the Neil Gaiman Marvel stuff doesn't get talked about. Like 1602 is great too.
Dude, slapping, dude. I love Gaiman. He's awesome.
1602 is great. It was so great that DC stole it and made it.
DC tends to do that a lot, which, speaking of, we were talking about Fourth World. I got to say, I don't know if you know this, but Fourth World was actually originally going to be a Thor story, and it was going to be like a Ragnarok. And I know I wasn't even born when that happened, but I'm still salty about that. Like, just thinking of what that could have been.
Yeah, rest in peace to Jack Kirby. I just wish that Kirby, Kirby was the ultimate artist. Mm-hmm. He's a cautionary tale of sorts. 100%. He just cared about the art.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about the business side.
Which is where he got screwed.
Yes. I'm not going to blame Stan Lee because I don't pick on the dead. Rest in peace, the peace, mm-hmm. the dead. I don't know what
both
happened.
Both legends.
Those two. Huh? Both legends. Yeah,
yeah. both legends. I don't
know what happened, but Stan Lee made sure he got his.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Kirby didn't. But he will forever be respected. His family will always be good. He'll always be a legend. And he just had great stories that just never came to fruition from mm-hmm. it. And this was one of them, but he was doing his thing. I remember he was even kind of sort of doing stuff with Image Comics for a little bit.
Yeah, he was all, yeah. That's the thing is, you know, Kirby was at the end of the day, through and through a storyteller. And I don't, like you were saying, you know, I don't want to get into the weeds of the whole Stan and Jack thing. Like we said, we respect both of them. But what I will say is, you know, whether or not Stan created as much as he says he did, or whether, you know, whatever it is, the way I always looked at it is Kirby was the creative. Stan was the salesman, and you needed both. If you didn't have, if like, let's just say under the assumption, like Jack Kirby created all these characters completely by himself. Let's say that's true. They would not have gotten to the point of where we're at now without Stan. Like Stan
100%
is a fucking salesman. The whole hello, true believer. Like the dude can sell shit. And it's like he, if it wasn't for Stan, whether or not, again, whether those stories are true or not, it would not have become as popular, and the comic book industry would not have gotten to where it was today. So, like I said, I think whether or not those stories are to be believed or whatever have you, they were both integral to all of this happening.
I agree. You know, I write comic books on the side, you know, and you know, people tell me that I am the creator of Leaders of the Free World. Yeah, that's my comic that I have. I would say it's kind of not fair to say that, because Eli, my partner, he designed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, he went off of what I said, but when people think of those characters, they're thinking of his design.
Yeah.
And so he is the co-creator. Mm-hmm. I completely give him that. Like, bro, like, this was a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
I didn't draw this. You did. So I'm just the word, the mouthpiece. I'm the seller. And that's what Stan Lee was. People forget Stan Lee, before he was a comic creator, he worked in advertisement.
Yeah, which is obvious. Like, it makes so much sense. It,
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, there were things that he would do. One of the things he really liked to do was have two things that sounded, that started with the same letter. And to him, because he said, I had a really bad memory problem. And so to help me with those problems, I would name things that started with the same letter. Fantastic Four, Sue Storm, Reed Richards. Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Matt Murdock.
Mm-hmm.
Like things like that. Like he would always forget Iron Man's name because he didn't name him like that. Tony Stark. You know what I'm saying? Like, so things like that. So, you know, he was an advertiser. So the old Marvel way was Kirby and them would draw the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stan would put the voice to it. To me, both are important.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, both are important. You could draw a great character. Sweet. Why should I care?
Yeah.
Sweet. Why should I care? Okay, that's a great looking character. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so the voice needed to be put into there. Like Reed being, you know, really smart. Human Torch being a womanizer type thing. Ben Grimm being, you know, Ben Grimm, which is basically just
Kirby. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like these are things that Stan Lee did.
Mm-hmm.
Calling it the world's, he named them the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
World's greatest comic magazine. That is his stance. That was him.
And imagine. I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead,
say, imagine reading, like I've just recently, especially with the recent announcements, I've been reading a lot of old school Fantastic Four, a lot of the Stan and Jack stuff. And imagine reading those books without the little, I don't want to say word bubble, but the little like description on the top from Stan, like, now we see our heroes in the, you know, imagine reading it without that. Like, it would not be the same. Again, it's like, that's what he, even if, because I've heard stories that like, basically Stan would give Jack an idea, right? Like, I want a story about a family that gets powers from space and like, you know, go at it. And Jack would draw and he would do the dialogue and stuff. And then afterward, Stan would come and put in the little like, you know, oh, our team, you know, the most fantastical team in the universe, like all these little quips and shit. And it's like you said, both are needed. Like
both are needed.
It would not be what it is if it didn't have that. Whether, you know, as great as the king is, right? But I mean, you know as well as I do, being a comic book creator, and all the creators that we've talked to on this channel have all said the same thing, but comics are a collaborative effort. And same with movies too, which is why when people shit on comic books and people shit on movies like this, it's very, especially, again, there are valid criticisms, and there are, and I am 100% there for a good, valid discussion of, you know, problems. But when you see these arguments coming from bad faith people and like just like completely bad faith arguments, it's just so disrespectful to every, like, okay, yeah, you didn't like Kamal's character, right? But there was hundreds of people that worked on that movie to bring that thing to life. And it's like, you're shitting on all of those people.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm like, why are you cheering for someone whose art they put a lot into? Why are you cheering for that to fail?
Especially if you're a supposed fan of comic books. Like,
100%.
I don't get that.
Why are you cheering for it to fail? It's another thing to be like, damn, that movie sucks. For example, Madam Web. I mean, people are not watching it. People are not liking it. I'm not cheering for this.
Oh, no. I wish it was great. Like,
I wish it was great. I wish it was. But unfortunately, we already knew what time it was. But I'm not going to cheer about it. Like, that's a completely different thing. And this is a good segue to what Kamal was saying. Like, we have to put ourselves, you know, people are like, man, why is he crying? I said, we got to put ourselves in his position. Imagine the biggest movie of all time just came out. You're a young up-and-comer. You're already a person of color. People are already looking at you crazy. They're not going to like want to put you in these roles. Mm-hmm. And the biggest company in the world walks up to you and says, I want you in this. I want you a part of it. You're going to be like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm out of here. Oh, this is great.
It's my moment, baby.
Angelina Jolie is on this?
For real.
Salma Hayek is on this. Oh, I'm in the big leagues. I'm out of here. So let me close everything that I'm doing and just focus on my body and get swole. And
dude got so fucking ripped, dude.
He talked about it. I loved it. He did an interview with Men's Health, and he was like, I don't want to be considered the poster child of this. And I thought this was so great. And I think more people need to hear this. And he was like, because my lifestyle, I can afford to put the time and energy into this.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's not like no one else can do this, but I'm not a good example because I dedicated nothing to this. Like, this was my job, was to get swole.
Yeah.
And so I was able to do that, but I'm also aware of my privilege that I was able to take time off to do that. And but that had to have been very taxing on him. And it had to have been very, you know, like he probably went to therapy just for that as well. And now imagine you do all that. You make this great film. It's fantastic. You're in a you're in a franchise that is Teflon at the time. You're out of here, right? No. And then it gets not only ripped on, but ripped to shreds. To the point where I had to ask sometimes, did we even watch the same movie?
No, dude, same. I was like, literally after that movie came out, I like had to question myself. I was like, am I just not seeing what everyone else, like, are they not, you know what I mean? I was just like, I was literally confused. Like, what am I, and I genuinely, you know me, Task, I try to always come at things from both angles. And like you said, I never like to shit on things. And like, I usually am pretty positive. I try to at least be positive. Yeah. And it's like, but I genuinely do try to see like things from other people's perspectives. Right. And it's like, I was literally sitting there like, okay, what is the criticism of this? And like, what am I not understanding here? And I really tried, but it's like, I just don't get it. A lot of, again, there are valid things with everything, right? Some valid criticism. I mentioned the crow thing, right? Yeah. But most of it is just like, again, I'm just like, I just do not, am I crazy? Like, I'm like, what is going on here?
And that could go to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I say that about Quantumania today.
Dude, we're gonna have to start a series on this because that's another one that I could go on and on about.
That'd be a dope idea for a podcast, revisiting considered bad like comic book movies and then just rewatching it and saying, was this really that bad?
Yeah, I think we got a new series on our hands.
Hey man, listen, I did that with the first two Fantastic Four movies. I did that when I watched Fantastic. I said nothing in the theater. I was just sitting there watching it. And when I walked out, my friend was like, what'd you think about it? I looked at him and I said, were the first two Fantastic Four movies that bad?
Literally. Hey, I'll say that first one is not. I mean, I just saw you tweet about this the other day. I have beef with that movie on like a basic premise of like just how the production was handled, you know, all behind the scenes stuff. But if I can put that aside for a second, I don't think that movie is as, like you said, not as bad as people make it out to be. Not at all.
Right. And there's a difference between this movie is good or it's not as bad as folks are making it.
I wouldn't say it's good, but.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's good, but there were a lot of redeeming qualities. I loved Michael Chiklis.
Dude, so great as the Thing.
Yes.
I thought Chris Evans was great as Johnny Storm.
Yeah. And the Human Torch thing. You know, their beef.
Mm-hmm. Their chemistry was great.
That was spot on. There were a few times when Chris Evans and, you know, Jessica Alba, they really did feel like brother and sister at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really felt that way. Like, there's a time where she was like, shut up, God. Like, yeah, get off my case. Sometimes you forget they are brother and sister. And so I did get that element. Like, when she was taking her clothes off to go invisible, she was like, like, things like that. Like, I appreciated stuff like that. So, like, when it comes to Eternals, one thing I did notice, I found it interesting. And it's current, and I think you know what I'm talking about, because it's currently happening with the Marvels.
Oh, my God. Again, another one we're going to add to our list of on our new series.
You know what? I don't want to do the Marvels. And let me tell you why. Seeing all the responses and everything to it, I'm like, y'all didn't even watch this movie, huh?
No, 100%.
And a lot of people are coming out saying, wow, that was actually decent. And I don't get mad at people who do that. I used to get mad. I was upset. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like, how dare you guys allow this movie to be the one that, you know, satisfied the grifters? Because they think that it's pandering. They call it woke. And they always had the saying, you go woke, you go broke. And then this movie does terrible. And now they're like, ha, see? See, we were right. We were right. While me and you know they're wrong, I can see someone looking at that and be like, well, that's what happened. They said that that's what happened. That's what happened. Maybe this woke stuff is a bad idea. And as a person of color, that sucks because we want more people to want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
We want more people to see this and be like, hey, this is something that I can get into. This is something I can enjoy. But seeing everything Nia DaCosta and that group went through, I could see disgusting. People being like, I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool. And think of it like this. Look at all the crap Nia DaCosta got for the Marvels. Do we even know the name of the Madam Web director?
For real.
Do we even know the name? I ain't seen one. I ain't seen ever do one interview.
Mm-mm. I have no idea who it is. Absolutely none.
But they made sure to talk about Nia DaCosta.
Yeah.
Like, all
that
the time.
Shit is so fucking dirty, dude. I hate it. So, and like you said, that's the most frustrating thing about it is, like you said, is then those same people take it and are like, see, I told you, like, you know, look, this is exactly what we're talking about. When we both know there's a lot of other factors at play with that. Yes. And I'll say, too, you know, just very quickly before we wrap this up on the Eternals, too, is I don't think so I've been reviewing movies and working in press for about 2 years now. I've done, I did Quantumania, I did Guardians, I did the Marvel, I've done, you know, bunch of Creed 3, bunch of movies and shit. I have never, ever, in any movie, show, or anything that I've reviewed, have gotten comments like I did on the Marvels when I posted my, when the social media embargo lifted and I posted my reaction. I have never gotten comments like I did on the Marvels. And on my tweet in the Marvels, I didn't even say if it was good or bad. I literally just said, I had fun watching this. And
it doesn't matter.
It was just ridiculous. And I'll also say, too, again, I'm not going to name names here, but I saw one of the biggest one of these go woke, go broke MCU motherfuckers front row at my screening, sitting there with his fucking popcorn bucket ready to fucking watch the shit. And I'm, you know, I'm like, again, like you said, it's all a grift. Like, you, maybe he didn't like it, right? Like, maybe he didn't, but it's like, you are still here fucking, not even opening night, you know, premiere night.
Premiere night.
And
oh, I'm going to tell you, you know, those people, like, they're the biggest fans.
No, literally, they're the biggest
fans. And let me tell you why. You go to their Twitter, their YouTube pages, that's all they talk about. I say they talk about the MCU more than I do.
Yeah, and I have a fucking Marvel podcast, like a comic book podcast.
And I'm considered the Marvel guy online. I don't even know how I got that tag. Like, it's so funny to me. People are like, oh, you're always on Marvel. I'm like, am I the only one? Why?
Yeah.
I was like, what am I saying that no one else is saying? That's another thing I tell people. You got to think, why am I getting so much smoke for that? I mean, you got to ask yourself, I'm not saying I'm doing anything different than what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm doing anything else, but people come for me. And they always every now and then.
And not only that, but they'll say, like, oh, you don't know what you're fucking talking about. Or do you even read comics tasks? Shit like that.
You know, I let that grip go. I let that go. Yes, I read a shit ton. Yes, I do. I've been reading comics for 37 years now. So I tell people, you got to understand something. I've been repping this stuff longer than you've been alive.
Yeah. Like we talked about, you know, for some of us, like, you know, me and you, it's like we can tell when you're fucking new here, you know what I mean? Like, just based off what people say, it's like, okay, I can tell that you fucking googled the Eternal, you know, whatever it was, saw the first little sentence that you saw, and like you just ran with that.
Like, that's what we're going with.
So easy to pick those people out.
And I tell people, you gotta watch people like the like the Denim Nerds guy. I have no problem saying names. Fuck them. I got a problem. That's why they're scared of me. They're scared of me because I'm not backed by nobody.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, no offense to like you or anybody, you know, you got other people above you. So you got to, like, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem. And I'm just like, that's why I'll be like, I'm the voice. Like, you don't have to say it. I'll say it for you. I'll say it for you. And nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I tell them, I'm like, yo, like, you got to watch people like him because they have built their platform off of hating Marvel. It does not benefit them to actually like it because they have built their legion off of hating that. And so if there's anything that he does like, he can't talk about it.
Literally cannot. Like,
he can't tell them about it because then he's going to lose fans. One of the greatest examples. Look what's going on with Tyrone. That Tyrone Bick, whatever that dude's name is.
Oh, dude. That fuckhead. I tell people,
we need to study this thing because that wasn't his content at first.
No, dude used to be normal. I mean, relatively, at least. Like, I wasn't his biggest fan or anything, but it was one of those things, like, once he became a grifter, I was like, oh, I've seen this dude's videos before. You know what I mean? Not like I knew him by name, but I'm like, I definitely have watched this dude's content before. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I thought...
You know, this is why I don't like the reaction video people.
Oh, dude.
I'm not a fan of reactions. I'm an old man. Call me old man yelling at the cloud. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I don't understand him. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why watching the dude go, what? But I want to watch that. But okay, fine. You know, to each their own. But my problem with things like that is that it just comes off fake and non-genuine to me. Because this dude, Tyrone, is straight up contradicting himself from his old comments and his old stuff that he would say. But now he's talking about this, and he's talking about woke, they woke it up, blah, 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 blah. And you have to ask yourself, what happened? And I said, I'll tell you what happened. He realized, oh, I get a bigger following doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he cares about.
Saw them views go up like that, and it was over.
These people are not genuine to me because they have to keep up with something. This is their job.
Mm-hmm.
This is their job.
Literally. So they
have to keep up these type of narratives to pay their bills. And that's why a lot of people trust me, because I tell them, look, man, I don't get paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get a dime for this. Every day Elon is sending me messages like, hey, this thing did really well in tweets. You're missing out on revenue. I'll never do it.
Mm-mm.
I'll never do it. And let me tell you why. I have integrity. First of all, fuck Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I don't want your money, bro. Not all money is good money. I remember an OG told me that. I never understood what that meant. I never understood. I was like, how is money not good? And then the older I got, I said, I get exactly what you're saying now.
Yep.
Not all money is good money. I don't want to make money off of a person who is okay with other people calling people the N-word and call, you know, they're saying Nazis should have a voice. I wouldn't work with no one like that.
Yeah.
I have integrity. And so I just stay away from that. But these people, they just want popularity. They want clout. So they have to keep up with that. That's why, excuse me, there are dudes whose whole persona online is just ripping the MCU. That's all they do.
That's literally their entire thing.
Smoke. Yes. And this is something I tell people all the time. Being an MCU fan is weird because people legit hate that you're a fan.
Yeah, literally.
Like, why are you so invested in what I like? What I like and what I watch does not affect you in the slightest. Mm. In the slightest. And you are just here. You're hopping in people's comments. You're screaming about this, saying you need to watch better films. You do not care what movies I do and don't watch.
Yeah, like, what the fuck do you care?
I do not care. I'll answer that question for you. When you say, why the fuck do you care? They don't.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they realize, oh, ripping on the MCU gets us views.
Mm-hmm. Gets the clicks.
Get us clicks. And that's all they care about. And that's what happened with Variety. And that's why that was disgusting.
Bro, fuck Variety. I cannot even take anything they say seriously anymore.
That was nasty.
That was nasty.
That woman put out that piece that was completely debunked, like, immediately.
It was
like,
a straight-up hit piece. Straight up. Like, no.
It was a straight-up hit piece. And it was filled with non-truth. It was filled with things that weren't true that people who actually worked on the film had to chime in and be like, what is this person talking about? That didn't happen. Yeah. What is this person talking about? Then they tried to make it, and I don't understand this. No, I understand it, unfortunately. But, you know, they said, oh, Nia DaCosta didn't come to the crew viewing. And they made a whole article about that. And I was like, why? And the crew viewing was like 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I have questions. Why are you doing this? Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing? I've never seen you do this with any other other directors. Had to chime in and be like, I didn't come to mine either.
Yeah, they're like, I didn't do that. Come to mine either.
Because, and then you find out why. They said, you know, this movie got postponed like 5-6 times. She had to leave to go do another movie.
Yeah.
And then they tried to say, oh, well, when she finished the film, she was already working on another film. It was like, dude, so many people have done that.
Literally every filmmaker, probably. Like, every single one of them.
Bring it up. Dude, Steven Spielberg did that for Jurassic Park. That's why Jurassic Park and Schindler's List came out the same year.
Yeah. Or I remember the most recent example, James Gunn. He finished up Peacemaker when he was doing, or was finishing Guardians while doing Peacemaker, or vice versa, one of the two.
They,
that shit happens all the time.
Yeah, he was working on Guardians, And he needed to film the scene at the end of Peacemaker where the Justice League comes together.
Mm-hmm.
He filmed that on the Guardian set.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, that was fine. They were like, wow, that was nice you guys did that for DC. He was like, well, it's the least that they could do because we did it for Marvel. Mm-hmm. Because the guy that, I keep forgetting his name. I couldn't because he's a great actor. The guy that played High Evolutionary.
Yeah,
he's great. Oh, he's fantastic.
So good.
He did his audition for High Evolutionary on the Peacemaker set.
Yeah.
So,
again, silly fucking comments, like silly fucking criticism doesn't make fucking sense. Everyone does that, but we know the real reason why.
Yeah.
Variety
praised Gunn for doing it.
Yeah.
They praised Gunn for doing that. They were like, wow, what a way for him to keep on top of things and keep things going. But with her, now it's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and y'all did this to a black woman.
Dude.
I don't expect you to get it. This is not a rip on you.
No, yeah.
I know you think it's wrong.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I took that really personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are y'all doing this to this black woman? Why are y'all doing this? Now other black women are probably looking at that like, I don't want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hit piece on me for different things like that. And they're discouraging them. And it's very, very disheartening. And while I see people watch the Marvels and they're enjoying it now, there's a part of me that really wants to be pissed.
Yeah, it's hard not to be. I mean, like you said, knowing all of what went down, and again, you know, I won't even begin to try and say, like, I fully understand the scope of all that, but it just, again, everything, yeah, it's like, I know it's wrong, and I know that it's fucking bullshit, and it's just, like, it's just so disgusting that this is what we're dealing with, and... Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it's just so damaging to not only the film industry, but all up and coming filmmakers. And it like we talked about on our last episode, we've talked about in this, it just all comes down to, in my mind, just people being fucking threatened and not knowing how to cope with that. And not only that, but I think it's also a thing of everyone's always shooting for the top dog, right? And it's like, you can fucking talk as much shit about Marvel and all these movies as much as you want, but they're at the fucking top. Who's still coming out to the fucking movie theaters? MCU fans. Who's fucking doing all this shit? Nerds, Marvel fans. It's like, you can talk all the shit you want, but at the end of the day, Marvel's fucking killing it. So I think all of these, you know, outlets, all of these other directors and these other actors even that are like, oh well, those aren't real movie, or I think it was Jodie Foster just had some shit about like, oh, like these super, you know, whatever it is, just like, I don't know, it just comes off as jealousy, like just
it's
comes
100%
out very
jealous,
like, oh, like you know, they're doing this with these stupid movies, but my movie that's so intellectual and whatever did fucking shit. It's like, well, maybe you just made a fucking shit movie. You know, maybe, yeah, ever think about that?
100%. Everyone got a movie that's a dud. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has one. Like, even The Rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone has a movie that's a dud. And this is what it is. It's 100% that they're hating on combo movie films. Because let's be clear, they don't have that smoke for horror films.
Mm-mm.
You don't hear them saying, man, horror films aren't real films.
Yeah.
They're not saying that.
Or comedies, which I'm sure they did at one point, which it's like,
I mean, I'm trying to look at it and I'm like, I don't know. I saw Wes Craven getting, you know, props.
Mm-hmm.
I see Rob Zombie was getting props for his own stuff. Like, I'm like, what is the difference? And I'll tell you what the difference is, the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking. Now, you know, it's the if comic book movies didn't make billions of dollars,
no one would give a shit.
Conversations.
Yeah,
we're not. If they were making like horror movie money, even though horror is making a great comeback. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big horror fan, but I love the art of creating something. And horror is making a great comeback because you could do a lot of great stuff, and you could put the money into the horror elements and not to the actors, because no one cares about the actors; they're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you can just get some people off the street, be like, yo, they want to die real quick.
You want to fake die on camera?
Really fake die, I'll pay you. It's like, sweet.
Yeah.
But with Eternals, they put a lot of money into it. They put a lot of time into it. So, yeah, I could see Kamal being like, yeah, that hurt. And and while it's sad, I appreciate it. And let me tell you why I appreciate it. I told people, I feel bad that he feels that way. But I also like that he did this. And let me tell you why. In Hollywood, these people are fake.
Mm-hmm.
They're fake. They are building themselves off an image, so they have to maintain that fake Hollywood image. Kamal saying that was very human.
Mm-hmm.
It was a human reaction. That was something that we can relate to. That is something that I'm pretty sure he was not the only one who was a part of that film. He wasn't the only one that was disappointed like that. He probably wasn't even the only one that went to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the only one talking about it.
Yeah.
And one thing I think is important as men is that we need to talk about, you know, how things affect our mental health
mm-hmm.
and going to therapy. I am 100% advocate of that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men don't go to therapy because we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dudes will go to therapy and not say anything. I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it like twice in just this thing, this conversation, like, as men, we are taught we have to be strong all the time and we can't have mental health problems. And that's why the highest suicide rate are men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we're taught we can't release that stuff. We have to bottle it all in. And that was probably too much for him.
Yeah.
Because he went through so much for that role.
Mm-hmm.
He went through so much. He went through rigorous, intense, like, training. He probably got into an argument with his wife about it. His wife was probably like, we don't know these things.
Yeah. Well, he even mentioned in that when he was talking about it, that it was really like putting a strain on his relationship, with like his wife and everything.
Yes.
And I remember too, again, I know that you remember this as well, but like before he got super buff and was like, you know, super shredded, when he was announced for the movie, people were already giving him shit because it's like, oh, this is the comedy guy, right? Like, what the fuck? He's going to be a superhero. And then he gets buff, and then people fucking talk shit about that too. So it's like,
they never saying that he was like taking steroids and all that stuff. He had to come and break that up. Like, no, I did not. I took a year and a half off.
Which, even if he did, let me tell you all a secret. All of them fuckers are on steroids. Most 99% of them are on steroids. And I have no problem with that. It's like we were talking about, their job is to fucking look buff. Like, that's what they're getting paid, to look a certain way. I mean, that could be a whole different topic of discussion. But in my mind, there's nothing wrong with that. And like I said, you think Stallone in fucking Rambo wasn't juiced to the fucking gills? Come on now. Like, come on.
I mean, when it comes to Marvel, we can't even talk about like people being on the sauce, because that was literally Captain America.
Yeah, no, like I said, they're all sauced up, bro. Chris Hemsworth in Love and Thunder in that fucking tank. Again, juice to the fucking gills, my dude. Oh, like,
he's on that foggy regimen.
Bro, he was sweating roids. My man was sweating them out. He's
dripping out of him.
Yeah, literally. But like I said, it's like, that's
another movie.
Job.
I get in trouble for this, but that's another movie I thought got way too much hate. Like,
hey, man, like I said, we got to start a whole series on this, because we got to do this all.
I don't know if I'm the person
for
that.
All of these, bro. No, you are, man. You are, for sure.
Because I do defend it too much. People have told me that. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I do. I'm open to being biased about this, because this comic book stuff, especially with Marvel, is my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like it saved my life. This is different than, I just like this.
Yeah.
You know, I come from the block. I'm from the hood. And, you know, instead of picking up a gun, I picked up a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I did. And I would go to the grocery store and help old ladies carry bags for quarters and stuff like that. And I would go, I'll never forget, I had like a bunch of quarters, and I walk up to the person, I'll drop it all on the table, and he would
feel like a fucking king.
He would count it, and he'd be like, all right, you can get one. I'll be like, all right. And I'll go get one, read it, and I'm like, dude, I need the next issue. And then he was like, well, those people need help with their bags. You know what you got to do. So I went out there and got it. I went out there and do it. And like, this has been my life ever since. When I saw that, you know, it all started when my mom got me an X-Men comic, you know, and I just wanted more. Like, that became my life mm-hmm. ever since. Now, how many people could say that they discovered their quote unquote purpose in life when they were like 4 or 5?
Yeah.
You know, that was me. And so when I defend these movies, it's I defend it. People are like, oh, you defend it with your life. I was like, this is my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is my life. I don't have a website because this is just a popular thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a podcast because this is just something that's popular. I do it because this is literally my life.
Yeah. And
you look at any of my old pictures, I'm probably got a comic book in my hand.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we both, you know, we had very different upbringings, you and me and all that. But I mean, we do this shit. You know what I mean? Like, we really fucking do this shit. And like you said, it's like, yeah, I will always admit that I am biased. Yes. Like, especially Thor stuff. Like, yes, I am biased.
You are. I will tell you that.
I am. I am biased. I will freely admit that. Yes, I will admit that. I will be proud of that. But like I said, I think you know, bring up a great point. The reason why this is so important to us, and it is, we do take it kind of seriously, is because, like you said, this has been big portion of our lives. And like I said, we really do this shit. We were the ones before there was an MCU, before there was any of this shit. We were
in the trenches,
the Wednesday Warriors, you know?
We were in the trenches.
Yes, we were in the fucking trenches, dude. It's like when we see these, again, you know, when we're talking about, you know, we can tell you're fucking new here. When we see these newbies coming in, talking like they understand this shit when they don't know what and that's like, again, we can very clearly see they don't know what they're talking about. It does get frustrating, and it's hard not to just, you know, be like, dude, fuck you, right? Like,
well, yeah,
it makes it very, very hard.
I let people cook sometimes, but when I see that the narrative is being picked up, because one thing I know about this new generation, they believe everything that's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
If it's on the internet, they're just like, oh, that means it must be true. I had to say something just right before the podcast. This dude talked about how I can't believe Kang was defeated by ants.
Now, both of us know another stupid comment.
you know, both of us know that they weren't just ants. They were futuristic ants, and they were the same size as them. You know, words are important here.
Yeah.
So if someone hasn't watched Quantumania and they're told, oh, he's defeated by ants, that sounds crazy.
Yeah. Which is like, did we forget the entire fucking fight with him and Scott afterward?
No.
Like,
were
they
there.
Fucking
let's,
fist fight? Like,
let's get there. We're not even there yet. We're not even there yet. People keep saying ants. They don't talk about, oh, they were in the quantum realm, so they were the same size as the ants.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how
and they were like 1,000 years advanced, like something crazy like that. They had like ships and shit, dude.
Yes. I'm like, bro, do you realize that if ants turned on us, we're all dead?
Dude. Are you going to throw out the stat right now? Like something like
of ants.
To every person, like something crazy like that.
Yes. Like there's like 1 million ants per person. And if they wanted to kill us all, they would. What would we do? They would just crawl over us and pick us apart. Like
plus,
it's nothing.
Plus, Tass, inform the people at home and me really quickly. What's the name of the movie again? What's the name of the hero?
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. And Ant-Man. You're saying that he beat the villain with ants?
Which is insane to me. I'm like, what the hell else was supposed to beat him with Thor's hammer? Like,
yeah,
I'm like, confused. Like,
no
what?
Fucking shit.
Also,
oh man, like I said, we gotta start a series on all of this because we can talk all day about Quantumania, Thor, Love and Thunder, the Marvel, all that shit. You know, we gotta come back. We gotta reach around and do this again. But
you keep talking about it. For example, they kept calling it the nanotech helmet, and I'm like, where's the nanotech?
Yeah.
Where's the nanotech? Oh, when he takes it off a cup. Okay, but that's not nanotech. That's like PIM particle stuff. Words are important here. Words are important. So people were taking these terms and saying it. And another dude was like, yeah, Ant-Man, Kang was defeated by ants. And I say, no, that's not what happened. Did you watch the movie? Like,
yeah.
Because I refuse to believe if you actually watched the movie, you would say that. Mm-hmm. Unless you saw someone else say that and got a lot of clicks. And you want to do that too.
Yeah, literally.
Look at the Tiamat thing. Look at Tiamat. Mm-hmm. Every now and then people go, oh, are they ever going to explain this? Even though they did.
Yeah.
They want to see it in the
every
movie.
Time someone says shit, I literally am just like She-Hulk. Like, boom, done. Like, your argument's then, fucking done, dude. They did mention
then what
it.
They do is they inject themselves with super soldier serum and pick up the goalpost. And then they move it. And then they say, oh, well, we want it in a movie. We want it seen. I'm like...
It's like patience, everyone, which I think this is a perfect segue to end off the Eternals talk with Tiamat, because I think that's another very silly criticism. And like you were talking about, like, oh, well, there's a huge fucking celestial in the ocean. No one's bringing that up. No, you know, blah, blah, blah. First of all, it was brought up in She-Hulk, that's a newspaper clipping. Second of all, okay, let's just think about this critically for just a second. Mm-hmm. What project since Eternals would have been a good opportunity to bring that up? Please tell me where, you know, and not only that, but if they did bring it up, then it would be the complaint would be like, oh, so an entire celestial comes out of the ocean and all they're going to say about it is a quick little comment, you know, whatever it is. It's like, dude, I like to think about it.
Physically go there?
I like to think about it like the Sokovia in what's it called? Avengers Age of Ultron, right? Like the destruction of Sokovia, right? And then we saw the response to that in Civil War, the consequences of that. And something like we were talking about, the importance of Celestials and all this stuff that we've been talking about, something as big as a Celestial coming out into the ocean, that deserves more than just a brief mention. Like, when that comes back, that is going to be basically the plot of a whole fucking movie is what are the consequences of that? What were the consequences of not only stopping Tiamat, but what are the consequences of him being there? And mm-hmm. who are the interested parties in this whole thing? It's like, mm-hmm. we cannot do that in a quick passing comment or a quick little mention. And again, it's like, if we did, then everyone would complain about that. So it's like, absolutely. Patience, everybody. They're not going to forget about it. Like, people feel like Kevin Feige has like dementia or something. Like, he's not going to forget. We all know that he's fucking there. We will get to it. Right. It's like,
yes. There's a lot of, you know, it's funny, you know, people get, once again, I'm blocked a lot. And let me tell people, I get, they're like, damn, Corey, a lot of people block you. I say, oh, let me tell you why. It's because these people have built their platforms off of lies.
Mm-hmm.
They have built their platforms off of saying things like that. And then you get someone like me that is like, either that's not true, or here are other plot threads that no one brought up that also fits the same narrative. So how come you're not bringing that up? For example, in Guardians 2, at the end, you know, when he's fighting his dad, there's a giant blob that ate a whole city.
Yeah. Why is no one talking about that, right?
Wanda took over a town.
Yeah. Let's keep the same energy across the board here, right?
Why are we only talking about this one thing? A former Avenger went evil. No one is talking about this. But why? But why is this one not talked about, but it's Tiamat? Let me tell you why. Because people have already put that narrative that Eternals was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they bring up Tiamat, and I was like, yeah. How can you do that? How can you do that? You know? And I'm shocked at how many people honestly haven't watched Eternals.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to always talk about it. I said that to a guy. Guy was talking shit, and then he said he never even watched it. I was like, this is a lot of energy for a movie you haven't watched, bro.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot of energy. I was like, you don't find that weird at all? That's a lot of energy towards something that you have not even partaked in yourself. I've never watched the Harry Potter movies. Harry Potter is just not my thing. That's just not my thing. But I'm not going to go to the Harry Potter fandom and be like, man, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Be like, fuck you guys.
Why would I do that? That just seems ridiculous. And so I say that to him. I'm like, you don't feel silly doing this?
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a lot of energy. I had a guy attack me recently who wrote a comic book. He's writing a comic book. And he kept coming at me about the MCU stuff. I said, you know what, bro? Let me be clear with you. You just wasted 6 tweets on me about something that you're not even invested in that could have been used to promoting your book. You could have been promoting your book. You could have been convincing me why I should be reading your book. Instead, you argue me about something you don't even partake in. Does that make sense to you?
Weird ass fucking energy. Got me.
You know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because that's sometimes the truth is hard.
Yeah, I was saying that's a good block though. You don't need that. Like I said, it's so fucking stupid, man.
When the smoke clears, I tell people because you know I don't get that emotional. People think I do. I don't. I can't get that emotional over something I don't own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own this stuff. Like I love it. I'm passionate about it, but I'm not going to block you because you have a different opinion about it than I do. Like it's not that serious to me to the point where I'm like, y'all don't care that much. Like, look at this stuff with Morph. Y'all don't give a shit.
Oh
that
my
much.
God.
You don't care. It's just, especially that's another thing I'm getting blocked a bunch of times because I'm showing people, Morph has been considered non-binary longer than he has.
Yeah, literally. And I don't even know much about the character, but I know that.
Morph was born a blob. Morph was you know Pokemon a little bit, right?
Yeah. I know the basics of Morph. Yeah, Ditto, yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what Morph was. They were born a blob and they talk about it. And what's great about it is when I talked about it, a lot of, you know, trans people, non-binary people, LGBTQ people caught up to my message. They were like, wow, we didn't know that Morph had this much depth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, exactly. Morph was born a blob. And Morph had like their mom was like a person of color of some sort. But Morph talked about, I couldn't, you know, to make my parents happy, I became the all American blonde hair, blue eyed boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how relatable is that?
Literally, like with the people, fucking layers to that.
Yes, there's a guy I know. My wife knows him. He is obviously gay. We've seen him with gay people. We've seen him with boyfriends and everything. And like I always say, I'm happy for you using living your truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is your truth. That's what it is. It's not up for us to agree with it or understand. If that's what makes you comfortable, then that's great. One day he showed up and he was like, pretty much, I'm not gay anymore. I'm staying with my parents. I'm all about God. And God doesn't like gay. That pissed me off. I was upset about that. Mm-hmm. I was really upset about that because I'm like, how are you going to let someone else tell you your truth?
Yeah.
That's not your truth. What you are doing, you're making yourself something that you're not to appease someone else. And that's exactly what Morph is. They were the type of people that would always throw themselves in front, always try to protect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, when they were talking about their origin, they were like, I've always been a person pleaser. I need everybody to like me. That hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the type of person I was.
Yeah.
I needed everybody to like me. I would do things to put myself in a better light for other people, but I wasn't being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I could relate to that. And people who are the LGBTQ community could definitely relate more than I could.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that I love about this comic book stuff we do is it's the ultimate like thing that could bring us together. You know, mm-hmm. I've never talked to so many LGBTQ people in my life until I started talking about comic book stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of them say, you know, thank you for doing it. It's weird to me because like, I'm like, I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I could care less. You like comic books? Dope. So do I.
Yeah. Good Let's people are good people. That's all it is to it. And it's
we're all just human, man.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, it is not my business who you're fucking.
Yeah. It's none of my business. And like you said, everyone deserves to be. I think everyone deserves to be 100% truly themselves. Yes, and if you're not doing that, then you're doing yourself a disservice. And
you're doing
yourself
a disservice, mm-hmm. and you're doing everyone else a disservice because now they're thinking everyone needs to be appealing to them.
Yeah, and 100%.
I'm just the voice for that. Even at my job that I do now, I deal with a lot of business people. And I'll never forget, I did a thing for a guy whose name was spelled J-O-R-G-E, which is Jorge. Matter of fact, remember when I did the trip in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went to. I went to that guy. His name was Jorge. And I went to go shake his hand when I met him. He says, hi, I'm George. I was like, hi, George. And he was a Latino man. And, mm-hmm. You know, shook his hand. And, you know, when I got set up at my job, I felt uncomfortable. So I walked into his office and I said, yo, can I speak to you for a second? And he was like, sure. So I closed the door. I said, is your name really Jorge? And he was like, well, I was born Jorge, but I tell people I'm George. And I said, why? I was so confused. I was like, well, why? That's not your name. And he was like, well, it makes people more comfortable.
Yeah. It's, I hate I was that like, so bro, much.
Look, bro. I said, let me talk to you, man. Is your name Jorge? He was like, yes. I said, did your mom name you Jorge? He was like, yes. I said, I'm calling you Jorge. It's your name. I'm not going to call you something that's not your name.
Yeah.
I'm not. Like, that'd be like me coming up to you saying, yeah, I'm Task. Well, that's my nickname. That's what I tell people to make them. No. No. That, yeah. No. It's Corey. That, we're in business here. Like, that's a nickname. I'm not calling you George. I'm calling you Jorge.
Yeah.
And he appreciated it. And it's just things like that. And that's what makes the X-Men so interesting. Ian McKellen, who played Magneto, the gay man, he gave a lot of input onto how being a mutant is relatable to being gay. One of my favorite lines from the – I hate the X-Men movies, by the way. But there were some cool moments. One of them was in X-Men 2 when the mom says, have you tried not being a mutant? That was something that Ian McKellen said that he went through himself.
Yeah.
Have you tried not being gay? Like, something like that. Like, that's a perfect allegory. So that's when people say the X-Men are woke. I just find that so confusing.
Yeah. What? And I think that's another reason why – you know, for us and for a lot of people, why, again, we do take this stuff very seriously. And, you know, it is important because I think we find through these stories of these fictional people that, like you said, we not only are we all human, but we are all a lot more similar than we think we are. And like you were saying with, you know, LGBT people or LGBTQ people and, you know, talk about not being people pleasing and stuff like that is something that is universal that all of us experience. Yes. And it's like, yes, they experience it at a much higher level, but there's again, and you know, with Magneto and Ian McKellen and him, you know, relating that the experience of being a mutant to the experience of being gay. And it's like, again, like, yes, we're seeing it from these kind of fantastical perspectives of these people with superpowers. But again, it's showing us that we are all a lot more alike than we think we are or that we want to give ourselves credit for. And I think that coming back around to kind of end this conversation about Eternals, I think that's another thing that Eternals does so well in representing. And like we were talking about the relationship between humans and gods, I think that's something the Eternals realize throughout the film is that we are a lot closer to these humans than we originally thought that we were. Like we talked about, the snap made Ajax realize these people are special. And I think, like I said, that's a theme that not only the Eternals showcases, but comic books in general showcase. And that's, again, why we take this stuff so seriously and why it is so important to 100%. Have diversity, to have inclusion, to have everyone be present and at the party. Like, that's what I it's all about.
And people are scared of that.
That's the thing,
I worked at a comic book shop too, and I had to deal with a lot of racism. I had no problem talking about this. I actually got fired because of something like that. I'll make it quick. So basically, the owner of the job was telling me that I need you to do this, I need you to do this, because he was leaving for the day. So I was like, okay, I was making sure. I said, okay, I'll make sure to do all that. And when I finished, one of the customers was a complete asshole. Like, dude was a dick. He will always come in and make little bullshit comments. He says to me, he turns to me and says, yeah, get to it, Toby.
Oh, hell no. He fucking said that to you, dude?
So we have to do our due diligence here, Thor. We have to do our due diligence here because we can't assume that everyone who's listens to this podcast knows what that means. So
say, I'll let you explain that one.
We had to do our due diligence here because I said that to one person. He was like, what does that mean? So there's a movie called Roots. Came out in the 70s, 80s, one of those two things. And in the movie, there's a slave named Kunta Kinte. They were said that we're giving you an American name. Your name is no longer Kunta Kinte. It is Toby. And Kota Kinte was like, no, I'm not taking, that's not my name. And they would beat him and whip him and say, your name is Toby. Say your name is Toby. He's like, no, I'm Kota Kinte. They kept beating him. So basically, long story short, he's calling me a slave. And, you know, I'm not the most violent man on the planet, but I did grab him by the neck.
I was saying, I would have went fucking nuts, dude. And, I don't
know. Like, joked him, and everyone pulled me off of him, and I got fired, and I said, I am perfectly okay with that. People were like, you're stupid. You lost your job. And once again, this goes to integrity. You're not going to disrespect me.
Yeah, some things are more important than the fucking job.
Not all money is good money. I'm not going to stay getting paid at a place where they think that's okay for someone to call me that.
Mm-hmm. And not only think it's okay, but to then you get the repercussions of that. Yeah. Like, if they don't understand, if they are willing to fire you over that, then it's, I don't want to fucking work there. Yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. I was like, I was okay with it because, you know, I worked there for years and all he cared about was the money. So, okay, you're already letting me know what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And that's more important to you other than me and being comfortable as your employee. So I'm cool with that. Mm. And so we ended up leaving. I ended up having to leave. But yeah, things like that, I fight for. I fight for things like that. And while me and you will never understand the, you know, how it is to be like an LGBTQ person, to see them relate to something like that, something that I could relate to too as a black man or whatever, you know, you're of the Muslim faith, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. People probably say things about you as a white Muslim guy, mm-hmm. right? It's like, you know, they're like, wow, like, you know, what makes you do this, blah, blah, blah. We all have things that we are, that we're into, that people are against, and we can all relate to it different ways through things like the X-Men. Yeah. And that's what I appreciate. So even if someone has never had that, they could read that and be like, man, that reminds me of my friend who's gay. He said something like that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's what I love about superheroes. That's what I love about comic books, is that they put things in a way that makes people understand things that they originally would not have.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got more LGBTQ people talking to me than ever. I never understood their plight. I never understood what they went through. But listening to them talk to me, I was like, okay, I understand now. I'll never fully understand experience, but I could feel your pain and I could feel why that happened to you. And I could feel like, you know, how this affected you. And that's what I love the most about it. And I always say, I don't expect other people to understand that. But for me, for myself, that is my goal.
Yeah, I could not echo you more, my man. I agree 100%. I think, like I said, that's why comics are so popular. People can talk all the shit they want, saying like, oh, comics have gone woke and blah, blah, blah. This has always been what comics have been. It's always been about exposing ourselves to other people and other perspectives and seeing how, like, you know, someone from the planet Krypton, you know what I mean? Like, championing for the little guy and a voice for people who don't have a voice. Comics have always been like that, and I don't give a fuck who tells you any different. They're fucking lying to you. They're lying.
Once again, we have to remain fact-based.
Yes.
Stan Lee was talking about this in the 60s.
Dude, there's so many there's so many examples of Stan and Jack and Ditko and literally the architects of all of this speaking about all this kind of stuff again. So if anyone tries to tell you that comics are going woke or the MCU is going or MCU, you can be sure that they're a fucking idiot and they don't know what they're fucking talking about.
MCU makes me mad. It makes me laugh because I'm like, okay, what's the problem? I like women.
Yeah, more powerful, strong women. Like, I don't understand. What are we complaining about?
What are we complaining about? That's why when people are mad about the She-Hulk shaking ass, I'm like, I like ass and superheroes. What's the point?
And it's like, even if it's like, that's not your thing, it's like, the scene is obviously meant to be fun. Like, when did we stop having fucking fun here? You know what I mean? Like, people take it so damn serious.
Clout for hating on fun.
Literally.
That's when I told people, once they monetized hate, it was over.
Fun once went out the window.
Once hate got monetized, like, now people have to push that narrative. They had to push that, like different things. For example, like Pedro Pascal just got the role for Mr. Fantastic. And you know, it's funny seeing all the complaints about it. One of the biggest complaints I've seen, and this is why I say, like, you guys are all just regurgitating the same stuff. One of the biggest things they say is, oh, well, he's too popular. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does
he's
that
mean? He's good
at
his job? Like, what?
Like, how is that? No, he's good. How is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
How is that bad? Like, you're failing to explain to me. How is this bad? Like, and then the guy was like, well, you know, we would prefer it, you know, if they got a no name, you know, Marvel doesn't do that. And I'm like,
who the fuck was Chris Hemsworth before Thor?
No. Let's start from the beginning. Robert Downey Jr.
Bro.
L. Jackson. ScarJo. Fucking Ed Norton. What are we talking about?
Ed Norton, man, that's a deep cut, but like, that's a great point, like, bro.
That's what it was built off of. Tommy Lee Jones. Things like that. Like, I'm like, these guys were big names, and they started out this way.
Mm-hmm. I forgot Tommy Lee Jones was in Captain America. I loved him in that role too. He was great.
Glenn Close was in the first Guardians movie, like. There were some big names that were involved in this.
What was dude's name from Winter Soldier? He's big actor too.
I forgot too, but he passed
Redford,
away.
Redford.
It hurt, like right? That. Something hurt. Oh my God.
Robert Redford, or I don't know.
I think it was Robert Redford.
Was that his name? That's it. But yeah, like I said, again, just like silly fucking comments, and a lot of this shit, again, has no bearing on the actual content that we are getting and like the actual films. And it was him?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go. Got it all up here, baby.
Good job.
But yeah, like I said, it's just silly fucking comments. And like we talked about before we started this, we're sick of it. We're just fucking sick of it. And so hopefully we've done our job well enough to not convince you, but to open your eyes a little bit about what is actually going on here and this kind of fake outrage that we live in. But Task, my man, I cannot thank you enough for being, I wish we could stay. Like I said, that's why I said we have to do a series, because I could sit here and talk to you all day about all of this shit. And I think it needs to be talked, like you said, I think it is important to talk about this shit and to not let these grifters create the narrative. And I think that's really what's happening. And a lot of people are just jumping on that. So like I said, man, you are obviously welcome back anytime, but I really would love to do this again. But before we get out of here, I just got to ask. So I think we've covered pretty much everything on the Eternals, but one, do you have anything left about the Eternals before we leave off here? And two, I know that you have a book coming out, a new Kickstarter. So I want you to please tell the people at home about that. When's that coming? Where can they find that?
The last thing I want to say about Eternals is, you know, when it comes to these type of films, I really need people to come to their own conclusions. Even when it came to Madame Web, I tell people, yeah, it's getting ripped to shreds, but you know, it's me. I don't talk about Madame Web because I didn't see it. So, when it comes to things, I just say, just go and find out for yourself.
Yep.
Because there's so many people, look at what's going on with the Marvels. So many people are watching it now. They're like, wow, that was actually very good. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't watch it because some dude that you never met in your life told you that you wouldn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Eternals. There are so many people, if you look every year, Eternals is like one of the top 10 most watched things on streaming. Because people are still coming back. They're like, wait a minute, that wasn't that bad. They're probably not going to talk about it online, but that is what it is. So when it comes to Eternals, things like that, please just go and just find out for yourself. That's number one. Number two, yes. Issue 4, Leaders of the Free World. April, I'm aiming for April. It's we're going out with a bang.
I love it. But I would say, please, if you got a minute, please tell us a little bit about it. Like you said, I know it's going to be a 40 pager. It's going to be, like you said, going on with pages. A bang. So what can the people at home expect from Leaders of the Free World? It's not ending, correct?
It's not ending.
Just to clarify for everyone.
Pause. You know, we're being Eli. We're still good friends. We both have a lot of business ventures that are unfortunately taking up more time than doing the comic, but we do feel like we owe this one to the people. And as an apology for waiting so long, we're going to make it a lot of pages. I put everything into this issue of everything that I like. You know, I like a bunch of different things. I like sci-fi. I like giant robots. I like magic battle. I like wizards. I like superheroes. I like mythology. I like karate. I like martial arts. I threw everything in here.
Love it.
I left it all on the writing floor. I left it all there. I want to make a book that everyone will remember. And leave my stamp on it. And if I never write for Marvel or DC ever again, ever, I can look back and be like, look, I killed that one, though.
Hell yeah, man. I can't fucking wait. So you're aiming for April. It's currently on Kickstarter right now? Like, people
Now, okay. But we're going to start the promo soon and get it going.
Okay, beautiful. Well, everyone listening and watching this at home, take my word for it. If you trust my opinion on comic books at all, pick up Leaders of the Free World. You will love it. Issues 1 through 3 you can find on Kickstarter, I believe, or are they?
It's online on Global Comics. It's on Global Comics, yeah.
Yeah, so on Global Comics, go check out issues 1 through 3. Make sure to keep an eye out for issue 4. I will be putting the Kickstarter in the description of this video. Even if it's not out yet, by the time this video comes out, I will update it and put it in there whenever it's ready. I'm also going to be putting Task's socials in there, all of his other work in there. Also, our first video, if you want to learn more about Task, is comic book origin story, his work in comics, all that kind of stuff. Go check that video out. We talked all about that. But for now, man, I just got to say again, thank you so much for being here. It's always such a pleasure just to talk to you and get to hang out. But it's even more of a pleasure when we get to really talk our shit about something we're both really passionate about. So that's why I knew I wanted to talk about Eternal so bad. And I knew you were the perfect person to come and talk with me about it. So again, thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Of course, of course. And all of you guys at home, I hope you guys enjoyed watching this video. If you did, please give us a like and subscribe. It really helps us out. Also, go over to bcwsupplies.com and use code SONSOFMILNIR for 10% off of your order. That's bags, boards, collectibles, everything that you need to protect the things that you love. We got you covered. So go check out that. Again, Sons of Milnir, that is going to be the code. Thank you guys so much for watching. We hope that you all have a fantastic week. Stay hydrated out there. I hope your stacks are fat, and we will see you all next time, baby.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
I'm gonna do this all day.